in this place. Jesus, you are worthy, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I worship you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. One more time. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, God. You're worthy, Jesus. Lord, I love you. I praise you. I thank you, God. You are great and greatly to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 It is good to be in the house of God, as I said at the very beginning. And it's always a opportunity and a privilege to be able to come and speak to you and teach. And I'm thankful for that. Thankful for a pastor that doesn't... I mean, I've heard of pastors saying stuff like, if he wants to preach, he's going to have to get his own pulpit, you know? And that's not our pastor, and I'm very thankful for that. Amen. I was reading the Word today, and Brother Andre's text for offering reminded me of this. But the principle of what God set forth in the Old Testament, it always applies. And in some ways, we're reminded of it in the New Testament. And so I thought of this today because the book of Galatians chapter 5 talks about trees and bearing fruit unto the Lord. And so it back in Deuteronomy, I think it's chapter 20, if that's the right, I'll check after. 20, 22, something like that. Right at the end of the chapter, it talks about when you come into the land and you're going forth as an army to conquer those nations around you, you come to their cities and you need armaments, you need battlements, you need wood. It said, don't go cut down the trees that bear fruit. Don't go cut down the trees that bear fruit. And then Jesus, of course, curses the fig tree in the New Testament because it didn't bear fruit. But that's something where I just took it as God saying, if your life is bearing fruit unto me, you can't be cut down. The enemy has no power over you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, let's go to the Word. Psalm 29, verse 7. Psalm 29, verse 7. Says, the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. Jump to Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. And then one more verse, Matthew, chapter 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. This is John the Baptist speaking. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Tonight I want to preach to you on this title, if you will, Out of the Fire. Out of the Fire. Jesus, right now I'm asking you, Lord, for help. Lord, I need you to speak through me, Lord. I need your word, God, that you've put in my mind and my heart, God, to be spoken out, Lord Jesus. God, I'm asking you, Lord, that this message, this principle would be conveyed to your people tonight. And Lord, that it would bring forth fruit, Lord Jesus. That God, it would do what you intended to do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. Amen. So the purpose of this message tonight is to show you that God's Word, when it's spoken, amen, it's spoken and confirmed and applied to your life through Holy Ghost baptism by fire. Amen. And so I'll say that again. It's to show that God's Word is spoken, confirmed, and applied to your life through Holy Ghost baptism by fire. There's an old saying that goes out of the frying pan into the fire. And you get this picture of a fish getting cooked over a fire. And for whatever reason, the fish is still alive. And so throw the fish into the frying pan, and it starts, of course, flipping its flippers and flipping its tail, and it jumps out of the frying pan, but it goes right into the fire. And it's this saying talks about basically an idea that if you, because of the discomfort of being fried, the fish is trying to get away from being fried, so it jumps out and it goes right into the flames, which is from bad, it just went from bad to worse. Right? That's the whole idea. So this proverb is saying not to be too quick to leave a bad situation. You might get into a worse one. Don't be too hasty. When it comes to sin, because of the nature we have of sin, the Adamic nature, we don't have true direction. We often find ourselves fleeing from sin, from one old sin, but running headlong into another sin, another situation. And I found a saying here about this. The man's name is John Trusler. He was an Oxford professor in the 1800s. He says this, "Our vicious inclinations, when they get ahead, are a kind of temptation that leads us into sin, which require more than common resolution to withstand. And like the devil, the parent of vice, goads us on to do that which our nature would otherwise recoil at." You ever been in a situation where you're messing up, you're making a mistake, you're putting your foot in your mouth, but then you go and say something worse or do something worse? I have. And sometimes you get this attitude of like, well, I'm gonna fry, I might as well burn, you know? That's the wrong attitude. But it's incumbent upon Christians to resist the devil and fly away from him. And pray to God for those spiritual aids that will enable us to oppose this tempter and set him at defiance. It is what God expects of us. And what, as good men, we are bound to do, that in flying from one sin, we should be careful not to plunge into another. In shunning prodigality, that's the old like word meaning, 1800s word, meaning like being like the prodigal son. In shunning being like the prodigal son, we should not become covetous like the big brother was. And in avoiding covetousness, we should beware of becoming like the prodigal son. So again, in striving to be humble, we should not be mean. I have a problem with that. And in studying to preserve a proper dignity, we should not be proud. For he who in avoiding one vice runs into the opposite does little else than jump out of the frying pan into the fire. All right. So instead of running from one sin to another, and you get the picture that this man probably didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost because he doesn't name it specifically. But we need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. So I'm not really here to teach about getting out of the fires of sin. And I'm not here to talk about coming through the fiery trial or the trial by fire or tribulations. But what I do want to show tonight is that what comes forth from the Holy Ghost when we are baptized by fire. What comes out of the fire when we're baptized by the fire? Amen. Now, I want to be clear here. You've never seen us go get a bunch of lava and, you know, dunk people in a lava tank. That's not, fire is symbolic in the New Testament of the power of the Holy Ghost. Nobody's bringing in their butane torches and torching people. So I know that probably doesn't need to be said, but it's not talking about literal fire. But in the Old Testament, for sure, there was literal fire. And I want to look at that literal fire in the Old Testament and see what happened through that literal fire and what God spoke out of the fire in the Old Testament. And how does that apply? How is that a type and shadow of today? So we're going to focus mostly here tonight on Deuteronomy chapters 4 and 5. Because 8 times in Deuteronomy 4 and 5, the voice of God speaks out of the fire. And so this is a type and a shadow of when the Holy Ghost would be with us and speak through us. I can jump all the way to the conclusion here and say that this type and shadow was literally fulfilled in Acts chapter 2 when they had tongues of fire sitting upon each of them. And that was the whole idea. Amen. Praise God. So Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting at verse 7, says, and this gives you kind of a picture, an overview of God's entire goal here. It says, for what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? Now, they had the Lord nigh them. We have the Lord in us. Amen. He's not just in the mountain. He's not just in the burning bush. He's not just in all of those external forces and show of strength and fire. The fire of the Holy Ghost, and I want to be really clear about the application tonight, because the application is to be within us, the fire of the Holy Ghost to be within us. And so they had God nigh unto them. We have God within us. When you're baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire, He fills your life. He fills your heart. He fills your mind with the power of His Spirit. Amen. And there's a dramatic change that can occur in your life. Amen. You can sit there and act like you don't believe it, but it's true. Amen. God really, truly moves upon a human life, a human heart, and transforms that life. Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. It says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul. Oh, well, before I read this, I'll say this. God is first going to remind Moses about when Moses first saw God in the burning bush back in Exodus chapter 3. And we'll go there in a second, but here God is saying, has there ever been a nation where God has been so nigh to them, and that every single time they call upon God that He answers them? And then He says to Moses, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb. We're going to read here in a second, but that's exactly where God met Moses in the burning bush, Horeb. And so He says, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. So let's look at Moses' calling, because I want you to remember the burning bush and the mountain of God. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to backslide up to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, which the bush is not, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, I want to point out that we have God, the fire of God, and we have God speaking. The fire of God and God speaking. So what God did for Moses in the burning bush, he wanted to replicate to all the people. But this time, instead of just the bush, it was the whole mountain that was on fire. So Deuteronomy, going back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 11. And ye came near and stood under the mountain. And the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. There you go. God speaking out of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. Only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. So somebody say, declared. What is the voice of God speaking? He declared unto you his covenant. And he says, which he commanded. Say, commanded. He declared, he commanded, amen. And he wrote them upon the 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Now, God is pointing out here that they didn't see a body. They didn't see a manifestation. They didn't see archangels or anything like that. They only heard a voice and saw the fire. So God speaking out of the fire to Moses and the people. Amen. It was so much, that made it so much more of an affront to the holiness of God when Aaron, after this all happened, Aaron, of course, Moses comes down from the mountain with the 2 tables of stone. And we get an account in the book of Exodus chapter 32 of exactly what happened with this whole golden calf situation. Right? And I remembered as I was studying this today, the exact words that Aaron told Moses. He was lying. Because right above it, there was a narration of exactly what happened. But look at exactly what Aaron says to Moses as an excuse. Like, I'm not at fault. Exodus 32:24. And I said unto, this is Aaron, and I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. Just came out of the fire. So how much more of an affront and an offense to God was it that just exactly what God was speaking to Moses about his voice speaking out of the fire, not a calf, not an image, not something false, but something real and powerful that would shake them to their very foundation, the very souls. The voice of God was even more powerful than it was than any of the fire or the trembling or the, you know, earthquakes or anything like that. It was what bothered them, really, was what God spoke to them. And we will see this. But there's other things that God was so offended at that he would not tolerate because it had to do with fire. Not just the calf, but remember the Moabites. The Moabites would sacrifice to an idol called Molech. And they would actually put the children onto the arms. They build the fire in the belly of Molech. And they'd put their children onto the arms of Molech. And when basically, I'm sorry, but the skin would start to melt, the baby would slide into the fire. And they called it passing through the fires of Molech. And the historian Plutarch said that the men in the camp, in the Moabite camp, would beat the drums louder so that they couldn't hear the screams of the mother and the children. And so God told Joshua, wipe them out, all of them. And if, you know, people say, oh, I have a problem with that. Okay, well, they may have wiped out a tribe or two, but they were killing themselves, and God refused to let that be the precedent that was set in the land, that was okay to do. And I was thinking about this because when a child is burned, especially at a very young age, of course, horrible scars and all of that stuff that occurs, but that child for the rest of its life will kind of recoil at heat. That child for the rest of its life, when it sees fire, it will be afraid of that fire. It leaves a permanent, lasting impact on that child's life when they're burned. And so it's tragic. It's tragic to see a child burned. And that happens, you know, obviously to this day. But it's talking about, the reason I thought about that was because fire leaves an impression. And we read in our opening that our God is a consuming fire. But I want you to look, though, at the bush, because the bush was not consumed. It was not God's intention to destroy that bush. It was not God's intention to maim it or harm it in any way. But the miracle was that it was burning, but the bush was not consumed. Moses had seen wildfires many times before, and he probably wouldn't have been shocked. Just as the children of Israel had probably felt earthquakes or seen volcanoes erupt or whatever. The impact, the mighty thing that God did was that dry old desert bush didn't even singe. Nothing was harmed upon it. And so while the false fires of this world, and while what the world tries to offer you as a substitute fire will harm you, will cause permanent and lasting damage to your life, the fire of God is there to sustain you. The fire of God is there to give you strength. It's there to lift you up. It's there to give you a lasting change and transformation to your life that will not harm you, but it will give you peace. That's why God killed Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, when they brought strange fire into the holy place. Said, I can't tolerate this. I can't just allow any old fire to come into my house. Can't just allow any old type of thing to come into my house. Amen. But it's got to be the true fire of God. The prescription that I gave. The fire has to be made the way that I made it. So, when God's fire is real in your life, His voice will speak to you and through you. Just like in Acts chapter 2, I'll mention it again. Acts chapter 2, when they were baptized with fire, with the Holy Ghost and fire, they spoke with other tongues. They spoke as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. That's God's voice speaking out of the fire. The Holy Ghost isn't something that we... It's not a little saying that we just repeat a whole bunch of times and it makes us feel good. It's not just like some kind of a... like the heathen, they have repetitions. They chant. The Holy Ghost speaking in tongues is not a chant. It's not like the chants of the Eastern religion. It's not like the sayings or they call them maxims that you say over and over and over again. People, it's popular now to post on social media. Today's, what's the word they use? Not maxim. It's like saying, today's saying. I'm going to keep saying this over and over and over again to myself until I believe it. That's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is real, genuine fire from God. And God speaks out of that fire. That's all right. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Amen. I believe it. I've experienced it. Hallelujah. So knowing the power of God's voice, we should desire, like he said, take diligent heed. Amen. Verse 29, Deuteronomy chapter 4. We should desire him to speak to us and through us. Verse 29 says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and all thy soul. You want to know how to get the Holy Ghost? Seek the Lord with all your heart and all your soul. That's it. Get your mind right. Hallelujah. And the fire of God will start to change you and transform you. Praise the Lord. The fire of God keeps you. When God's speaking to you, it keeps you. The next verse says, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even the latter days. And we're living in the latter days. It says, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Amen. God's going to sustain you. His voice is going to lead you. His voice is going to guide you. Let the voice of God speak through the fire of the Holy Ghost in your life. Amen. Like Jude said, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So when I was in the Navy, everyone in the Navy is a firefighter. Can I get an amen for my Navy vets? Everyone goes through live fire training as well as several fire-related academic courses. And one of those courses is fire science. It's called fire science. And in that course, I remember when we studied in that course, we talked about how that fire causes a chemical and a physical change to whatever the fuel is. Right? So for example, and Pastor, you like this, when wood burns, after it's burnt, it looks different, doesn't it? A little bit. So there's a physical change, of course. The wood turns into ash, but it doesn't just turn into ash. It actually turns into gases as well. It's actually vaporizing. The fire is actually vaporizing that fuel. And actually, smoke is unspent fuel. I learned that from Seth later. Seth, my brother-in-law, is a firefighter. But smoke is unspent fuel. So if you got a smoky fire, all you got to do is get the fire hotter, and it will actually start to burn cleaner. And it won't be all smoky. That's a tip, free tip for when you're going camping. Right? Because we're all sitting around the campfire and the smoke is following us, right? Well, no, it's because you haven't got enough fuel on the fire to keep it hot enough to where it doesn't smoke so much. All right? You could pay me later for that one. Praise the Lord. But this is perhaps why God chose fire to represent the powerful transformation that occurs when a worshiper is filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. When we're baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, it transforms us. It changes us. It gives us a new, completely new life, an abundant life, amen, inside of our own dead life. And it starts to work on you and transform you. I can't tell you how many times that I've heard somebody say something that it's obvious that God has been working on their life. It's obvious that God has, they didn't come up with that on their own. They didn't, if you thought about the old nature that they had, they would have said what they wanted to say. But because of the power of the Holy Ghost, they said something different. And that's amazing to me. Amen. I witnessed it about a week ago. I witnessed it here, right here in the church. That somebody was going to say something that they didn't want to say. And they didn't say it. They said something different. It's awesome. And God is working on that person. God is doing a great work in their life. And it's amazing how God completely changes your life. Instead of a physical or a chemical change, there's a real spiritual change in your life because of the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's because the voice of God is speaking out of the fire. And that was exactly, so what exactly does God accomplish? This is a Bible study, and I wanted to go through exactly what God accomplished in Deuteronomy 4 and 5. What did He accomplish in the people there with the sign of the real fire and the voice speaking out of the fire? The voice of God out of the fire confirms our unique knowledge that He is God, that He is one. Amen. Deuteronomy 4:32 says, "For ask now in the days that are past, or now ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing, or hath been heard like it." I love this passage of Scripture. This is one of my favorite things to read. It says, did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard, and live? Well, if they did, they weren't around to tell you about it, because they didn't live, right? Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Look at this. This is exactly what God did to you and I when He gave us His Spirit. If you think about it, I don't know 100 other people on my job that have the Holy Ghost like I do. I don't know 100 kids at my son's school that has the Holy Ghost like he does. I don't know 1,000 other people in the shipyard that has the Holy Ghost like Brother Greeley and Brother Greg does. I don't know 100 other nurses that have the Holy Ghost like my wife does. Amen. I don't know 100 other grandmas. Amen. Like Sister Greeley, or cake bakers, or IT guys, or career counselors. Amen. I'm just listing off the... Or cool drummers. Amen. I don't know. That's significant. That's unique. That's special. God did something powerful and amazing in your life when He filled you with the Holy Ghost and you started using your tongue to speak His words. That's a powerful, mighty, supernatural event that happened to you, that happened to me. Praise the Lord. That's amazing. Amen. I know we're not jumping off the walls and running around the building, but why don't you just help me stand on your feet and give God some praise? Hallelujah. Oh, God, You're so good. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You might all look around and be like, oh, we don't have that many people here. Well, that's the point. Amen. You're significant. You're unique. You're special to God. He baptized you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. He changed your life. Hallelujah. He took you out. You all are Americans. He took you out from a nation. A nation that unfortunately is going the wrong direction. But for this time, for right now, He took you out of that nation for Himself to be His people. Praise the Lord. He says, unto thee, verse 35, unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God. There is none else beside Him. Out of heaven He made thee to hear His voice, that He might instruct thee. And upon the earth He showed thee His great fire. See, you got the voice and you got the fire. And thou heardest His words out of the midst of the fire. When I spoke with other tongues, as the Spirit gives the utterance, when I pray within the Holy Ghost, amen, the voice of God is speaking out of the middle of the fire that He's put in my life. The fire of the Holy Ghost that transformed me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I know 10 other young people that I was raised with that they went the wrong direction. And they are messed up. Messed up. But look at what God did in my life. I rejoice. I pray for them. I seek God, please restore them and bring them back to faith. But I'm too busy praising God for what He did in my life and trying to get as many other people to receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. As I can. Amen. That's why this message was burning in my life today. Praise the Lord. It says in Jeremiah verse 20, and chapter 20, verse 9, then I said, I will not make mention of Him, nor speak any more in His name. But His word was in mine heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. The Holy Ghost, when it comes into your life, it has to speak the revelation that God gave you. It has to speak the powerful things that God has shown you and God has spoke to you. Amen. Especially who He is. Because even among religious people, many, many don't know that Jesus is God, manifest in the flesh. Many people believe that Jesus is part of the Godhead. But the Bible says that the Godhead is in Jesus. Amen? And when we have the Holy Ghost, it just gives us that rush, that dunamis power to be witnesses unto all the world. And we can't, you can try for a little while to deny. You can try it for a little while to try to put a damper on the Holy Ghost. But it just starts to work in you. It just starts to move in you. Amen. It's kind of like in the morning, the fire's burnt really, really low. And there's just little tiny coals. But as soon as you put another log on that fire, that little tiny coal, come back 10 minutes later, and it's blaze. Hallelujah. You can't shut down the power of the Holy Ghost. You can't shut it out of your life. It helps you through all kinds of things that otherwise you would not be capable of. Praise the Lord. Amen. So jump over to chapter 5. And another thing that the fire of God and the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, it confirms His covenant and His commandments to you. So Deuteronomy 5:1 says, "And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments with which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord your God made a covenant with us in Horeb. And the Lord made not this covenant with your fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. And the Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord. For ye were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage." And then he starts to repeat the Ten Commandments. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." So this is the second time that the commandments are fully written out in Scripture. But I want you to notice, again, that God talked to Moses face to face out of the midst of the fire, and that he stood between as a go-between or as a temporary mediator between God and the people. Because the people were saying, "You're going to climb up that mountain with it being on fire the way it is, with it shaking the way it is, with the clouds and the lightnings and the thunder? Are you crazy? That's scaring." That, like my kids say, "That's freaking me out." But the point is that they were afraid, that there was a barrier because of that powerful demonstration that God did. And it's not unlike people today. When people are seeking the Holy Ghost, many times, and somebody told me about a month ago, "I'm afraid God is not going to give me the Holy Ghost." And I said, "What?" "I'm afraid that I won't do the right thing when I get the Holy Ghost. I'm afraid that I won't get the Holy Ghost like Pastor has it or like someone else has it." Say, "Don't worry about that." And I like what Pastor Greeley said. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall. Don't be so worried about, if I don't get the Holy Ghost, what's going to happen to me? Don't be so worried about that. Be seeking the face of God with your whole heart and your whole mind. Amen. Worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Believe what God says in His Word. Amen. So, just like the people that were afraid, you could see right at the end of this chapter that it was God's intention the whole time that everyone receive the same experience and power that Moses had. Praise the Lord. But that covenant is sealed in our life when we receive the Holy Ghost. The covenant of God is attached to us forever by His name and through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it it teaches us. The entire purpose of the Holy Ghost is to keep us, lead us, guide us, teach us. Amen. Help us. And I can't imagine my life without the Holy Ghost. Amen. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. I want to point out John chapter 3, verse 16. Can you go there real quick? Because this word just jumped off the page to me. After that ye believed, right? Believed. Everybody say believed. So we read here John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It sounds great. That sounds awesome. Most of the time, unfortunately, people skip over John chapter 3, verse 5. And they say, well, you don't got to be baptized in water. You don't need to receive the Holy Ghost. Well, that's a lie from the devil. This is the same conversation that Jesus is having with a man named Nicodemus. He's a ruler of the Jews. He comes to Jesus slyly by night. He tells Jesus a bunch of compliments. And Jesus goes right after what Nicodemus needs. Can you jump to chapter, can you jump to verse 3? John 3:3. I'm testing him. Run him through his paces tonight. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, what is it that Jesus was talking about when He said, believeth? What is it that Paul was talking about in Ephesians when he said, believe? Well, this has something to do with it. Because every single step in the process of salvation has to do with faith. But you can't say you are a believer unless you have acted upon that faith. Amen. Go to the next verse, verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Next verse. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Keep going. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You've got to be born again. Amen. If believing didn't include being born again, then you'd have a whole bunch of people in heaven that weren't born again. That's not the way it works. Amen. But every single step in the process of salvation, from the very moment that you see Jesus in Scripture for who He is, and you say, I want to follow Him with my whole heart. Amen. There is a plan of salvation that God brings you through. And, of course, we get accused all the time. Well, that's works. No, it's not. Which part of forgiveness of sins do I do? I don't forgive my own sins. God forgives my sins. I just believe and repent. Amen. Which part of remitting sins do I do? I just believe on the name of Jesus and He remits my sins. Which part of receiving the Holy Ghost do I perform? It's God speaking out of the midst of the fire. There, I got myself back on track. Praise the Lord. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 22. What else does God's voice do when it speaks through the fire? Well, God, the voice of God caused them to fear. It caused them to fear. Amen. And in a sense of a literal sense, that God could destroy them through the fire. That the fire would come off that mountain and consume them. In fact, they'd seen examples before. Nadab and Abihu, whom I mentioned, they were consumed because fire of God came out of the altar and consumed them. Right? So verse 22, these words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount of the midst, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And ye said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness. And we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now therefore, say, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. That's a lie. They were making stuff up. But, says, for who is there of all flesh? And they were going off of their presuppositions, right? For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of fire as we have and lived? They said, we're not taking our chances again. But God wanted to speak to them. God wanted to continue to show them great and mighty things. James, that's an assassin bug just flew over my head. All right, time out. I was a little kid about James's age in Las Vegas, and they have these beetles in the desert called Goliath beetles. And one time, and those things are like bigger than hummingbirds. And one time, one of them got in the church in the middle of service while a pastor was preaching. And that ended the service. Because no lady was going to praise the Lord. All right. Verse 27. Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. So they're saying, Pastor, you go and pray. Brother Darren, Sister Greeley, can you pray for me? Oh, yes, but you can also pray for yourself. Yes. Do I have a different Holy Ghost than you do? Thank you for answering. No, I don't. I may yield be at a level where I've yielded more to the power of the Holy Ghost than you have, but nothing's stopping you. Nothing is stopping you from having the demonstration of the power of God in your life, like anyone that has had the Holy Ghost before. Praise God. So the voice of God, amen, and the Holy Ghost does transform our life. It does confirm His Word in our life. It does speak out of the midst of the fire, which is the Holy Ghost in our life. Amen. And Jesus said it like this in John chapter 4, verse 23. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He had just been talking to the woman at the well, somebody that had a completely broken life, a completely messed up life, and was promising her that He could give her water that she would never thirst again. That He could give her the Holy Ghost, and that the Holy Ghost would make it to where her life was permanently changed. And that's what He was talking about. God is seeking people that are going to say, God, whatever You have to do in my life, whatever You want to do with my life, however You want to order my steps, Lord, and if we could just bow our heads and pray right now. However You want to order my steps, Lord, however You want to use me, God, I'm here, I'm a living sacrifice, God. I want to be holy and acceptable to You, Lord Jesus. God, however You want to transform my life, God, whatever permanent changes, Lord Jesus, that You want to do in my life. Come on, let's pray this prayer right now. God, whatever You want to do, God, wherever You want to take me, Lord Jesus. God, however You want to speak through my life, Lord Jesus. However, oh God, You want to burn, Lord Jesus, the things, the chaff in my life that God doesn't belong there, Lord Jesus. Oh God, I need Your Spirit, God. I need the fire, Lord Jesus, of the Holy Ghost to burn in my life, God. Oh Lord, I need Your voice, God, to speak to me every day, Lord Jesus, out of the middle of that fire, oh God. Hallelujah, lead us, God. Guide us with Your voice, Lord Jesus. Speak to our lives, God. Move, Lord Jesus, in our lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh Lord, You are great and mighty and worthy, Lord Jesus. Oh, I praise You. I love You, Lord God. I thank You, Lord Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh God, speak to Your people, Lord Jesus. Speak to Your people, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Right here, I'm closing. But Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. I told you that I would show you here that it was God's desire the whole time that they would each have the power of His Spirit speaking to them. And here's the verse, Deuteronomy 5:29. It says, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear Me and keep all My commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Amen. See, God's not interested in someone that's going to just merely tremble at His voice or fear Him and shake in a sense that you can't move or you can't grow or you can't do anything with your life. But His interest was always to not just speak the commandments to them, but them leave them powerless to obey them. That's not God's plan. Yes, God does require of us certain things. Yes, God does want us to be sacrifices to Him. But He's not going to leave us to do it on our own. If you remember back in the beginning when I was reading that little thing, God's not interested in letting the devil just have His way in our life. No. Without any hope, without any recourse, without any strength to face it. But when we are submitted to God, when we allow His voice to speak through us, and I hope you do every single day, allow God to speak through you. Allow the Spirit of God to speak into your life every single day. Not just in the Word, but in prayer. In prayer. Amen. But that song that my wife picked out a week ago, want to be a willing vessel. A vessel you can use. When we make ourselves available, amen, to be living sacrifices, God gives us all the power we need. There's nothing that He will withhold. Amen. Would you stand with me? I want to read one more verse of Scripture. Amen. Exodus 20, 24. Went back to the original place that God gave His commandments, and I found this. And it seems like in Scripture that God gave the commandments and then He's moving on to a different subject. But He's not. But look, we're earth. We're earth. Amen? In the Lord's Prayer class, He says, "Thy will be done in earth." Adam was made out of the earth. We're Adam's children. Amen. But we can become the children of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. It says an altar of earth. And these are our instructions tonight. An altar of earth shalt thou make unto me. Prepare yourself. Church, prepare yourself for the fire of God to come into your life. And shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, and thine oxen, in all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and will bless thee. Doesn't that look like Acts 2:38? Repent. Make yourself an altar, a sacrifice. Amen. Let the name of God be recorded in your heart, in your life, by baptism. And then He says, you shall. He says, wherever I record my name, I will come unto thee and will bless thee. Amen. Hallelujah. So thankful for the Holy Ghost tonight, aren't you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh God. You said you wouldn't leave us comfortless, God. But Lord, you would come to us, Lord Jesus, in every place, oh God. Oh, that we call on your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let your Spirit in our lives speak, oh God, to us. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. So thankful that God was willing to use us. Amen. Praise God. We already said all the announcements. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.